This is a tripod broadcast.
Well, let's start recording, so...
We just did.
Okay, cool. I think this is a key show to listen to because it's
all about emotional masturbation. Journalistic integrity.
It encapsulates everything that we're about.
And I'm sorry.
Now, give that some thought.
Yeah.
With Addison.
I can't be mad at you. You got a haircut.
And Matt.
I would recommend that you stop listening right now.
If you're going to believe that, then you have to admit that all music is run by the by all popular music is run by the
Illuminati. Yeah, it is.
You think so?
I have some YouTube videos you should watch, Addison.
I've seen some of those. They're terrifying.
The Jay-Z, Beyonce, Illuminati.
I think it's about 17 minutes long.
I don't know, but there's a couple of them that talk about how Jay-Z and Beyonce are in the Illuminati, how Miley Cyrus is like. And
well,
how,
they
like,
do all do the eye thing and the triangle. That's a pretty popular theme. Also, one I saw an article on a Christian website one time a friend sent me about one of Lady Gaga's videos. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen the video because I don't really seek out Lady Gaga music videos.
Yeah.
Which you might find surprising, but it's not really what I do online. But no, he sent me this link, and it was basically, I mean, it tore down the video. Almost swallowed my gum. I need to spit this out, and I need to pee, so I don't know why I hit record. But it tore down, essentially, scene for scene, the music video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, and this means this, and this means this, and this is a reference to this.
Yeah.
And some of it you could tell was a little, okay.
A little bit of a reach.
Yeah, pulling that out of what might be thin air.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of it was fairly compelling.
Yeah.
Some of it, because, I mean, when you, and I don't know if you're familiar with Lady Gaga's imagery at all, but if you have like goat heads and paraphernalia,
sure,
and things of that nature in a video, it doesn't necessarily mean what those people say it means, but there's not a lot of other ways to take it.
Yeah,
I mean, unless you just throw anything under the umbrella of art, which. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be artsy and mean something anyways. You know, I think good art does. But
yeah.
Speaking of that, if we want to backtrack to the comment about Switchfoot from 2 weeks ago.
Okay, sure.
About how artistry, I don't even remember the comment, really. We probably shouldn't backtrack because I don't remember.
No, I can't remember what it was. But she was talking about high art versus what I called high art versus regular art. And I was,
and you don't, and because what you said is that you don't consider Switchfoot to be that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which,
and here's the thing.
It's somewhat subjective, though, right? From the ground up.
Well, all art is subjective. Absolutely, none of it's objective. It's all subjective. It's all based relative to your position in the universe, like your emotional state, your understanding of the world around you, your intelligence. Your ignorance or lack thereof,
right?
It's all about where you are, and art. That's why bad art and good art both can speak to somebody. They can both elicit an emotional response.
So that's the definition of art then, from the ground up, eliciting an emotional response.
I would say that's the definition of a lot of things. Not necessarily art, but there's a lot of entertainment that can elicit emotional response. Mm-hmm. You get somebody just drunk enough and... Mm-hmm.
A painting could elicit...
A Sheryl Crow song will make them cry, right?
Right.
Now, there's no artistry in Sheryl Crow.
Been there?
But exactly. But just, you know, I'm sorry, but when I hear Neutral Milk Hotel, that's high art.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. It is.
Uh-huh.
It has a definite theme. It has... things that are both subjective and objective. It uses not just music, but it uses sounds to elicit emotional response. There's a very sad song on there. And right in the middle of the song, right where the bridge should be, quote-unquote,
mm-hmm.
right after the second chorus. Mm-hmm. And it's construct. The music is very... It doesn't play by the rules of most pop songs, but right in the middle where that most emotional gut punch of a song should be, instead of any more lyric or instead of a song or notes, they're simply the sounds of dogs yelping that yelping that a young dog will do when it's in pain. That I can't even do it right, but it's just that sound at that perfect moment in the song that is an emotional gut punch that that sound perfectly describes exactly what the artist is trying to say.
Right.
It's not using words. It's not even using music. It's just an ambient sound that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is that Switchfoot, yes, it can elicit emotional response, absolutely. But is it something?
And one that is maybe better than others.
Yeah.
For example, whoever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to, I don't want to compare apples and oranges, but yeah, to whatever top 40, whatever it is.
But here's the thing. In 100 years, our grandchildren will not remember Switchfoot. They will, however, still be able to hear Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture when they hear it. They may not know exactly what it is, but they'll recognize it.
Probably right? From a Chrysler ad, but...
Or from that classic movie V from Vendetta or whatever. But there are...
master turd.
There are things that they will stand the test of time and things that aren't. 2001 A Space Odyssey is a movie we'll probably be talking about 100 years from now. The Godfather is one.
Uh-huh.
Gone with the Wind is another.
Scarface?
No. But, for instance, 300 is not art. It's entertainment.
People will have to, in 100 years, they'll look up Scarface because they will have found it on someone's shirt. That they it'll be an archaeological expedition,
uh-huh,
and it'll be one of those, you know those shirts that kind of meet halfway between waistline and knee?
Yeah.
That people wear? They'll find one of those, and the Scarface will be on it. And then they'll be like, what does this mean? And then they'll have to research.
Yeah.
You know, which by then, you know, our thoughts will all be, you know, owned and moderated by Google.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll pop up and it'll say, oh, this was a movie from this time.
Yeah. But to draw a clear line in the sand about this high art subject is that I think that high art is something that transcends person to person, something that has an emotional gut punch, and something that isn't simply about eliciting an emotional response, but uncovering an emotional truth or... A simple truth about life, about you as a person,
which is
about the human condition,
to where you're at.
Exactly, which is why
because you might listen to music that does that for you, and it might not do that for me now or ever necessarily, but it might at a certain point.
But the gist of what I'm getting at is that the emotional response is completely subjective and doesn't help you make the argument either way whether or not this is high art or even artistry.
Exactly,
what does is whether or not it's revealing some sort of truth about the human condition. Or about the human emotions that transcends your emotional state, and also what you know. If you know, you can look at Caspar von Friedrich's "Wanderer Over the Sea of Clouds," my favorite painting of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm sorry, David Caspar Friedrich's "The Wanderer Over the Sea of Clouds." You can look at that, and if you don't know anything about the painting, you don't know anything about the artist, you don't know anything about the time period in which he painted. And that realist revival in Belgium and in Northern Europe towards the last part of the 18th century, like, you're not going to understand. You don't have the context to realize why this is high art.
Yeah.
Why is William Butler Yeats the greatest poet to ever set pen to paper?
Mm-hmm.
Take your Shakespeare, throw him out the door. Shakespeare is terrible, okay, for my money at least. But that's my opinion.
Uh-huh.
All right, that... Shakespeare's still high art, but why is William Butler Yeats the greatest poet? Because if you know what about his life, you realize the tragedy, but also the beauty. And why can he write? Why was he the greatest of the Romantic poets? It's because there was so much tragedy in his life, and so you understand why his art is high art and why it was a sacrifice and a struggle for him to write poems.
Exactly. And to that, I'll say this: there's been a couple of bands. Well, one in particular I can think of. I believe I could be totally wrong on this, and it might be another band. But if I recall, 3 to 5 years ago, I heard a couple of songs by a band called Seventh Day Slumber. They had this one song, Oceans from Rain. And I mean, you can guess where it goes from there. Yeah. It's about how, you know, God turns everything in your life for good, right?
He makes oceans from the rain. Wow, Addison, you could not.
That's
awesome. He pulled that up immediately on his phone.
Nope.
No, you pulled that audio from the clip of that song immediately from the phone. That was pretty cool. You had that. You must have had that queued up and using this example.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I did.
That was an excerpt from the song. We'll have to put a disclaimer on the website, I guess. Well, it was only like 2 seconds long. So
yeah. Well, we don't really have to pay for it. Cost us about $80.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then never mind.
We'll edit that out.
Yeah, edit that out. Edit that out.
Yeah. No, anyways, so, and I thought, you know, okay, here's a decent song, kind of speaks to me, there's a common theme, yada, yada, yada. And then I read a profile on if either the lead singer in the band or one of the guys in the band, I think, who was influential in painting, in writing that song, okay, you know. And, again, I could be way wrong about this, but... And it was about his struggle through a heroin addiction and coming so close to death and struggling with it for years and years and years. And so that song, despite what it meant to me before, meant more to me because I knew where it was coming from and the place that it had been. And that popped in my head because of what you're saying about the poet, you know, because I may read poetry and not understand. Like I've read Charles Dickens, and he didn't mean Dickens to me. Okay,
didn't mean dicks.
He didn't mean Dickens to me. And you know what I mean. And so, but if you understood, like, okay, the revolution and everything that was going on from that time period, it might mean a lot more. I don't understand that cultural context, and I don't understand heroin addiction either. But to understand that it was coming from that place of, here's where I was, here's what happened, and here's my expression of that, it meant more to me. Is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah, a little bit, but I still think that what you're getting at, what Yeats does for me and what that song does for you,
mm-hmm.
it is still subjective, mm-hmm. because we have that information.
Yeah.
We're not ignorant of what's going on behind the scenes. We understand the context of how that art was created.
So it doesn't pass through that.
So it is still... I don't know. It is hard to judge what is quote unquote high art and what is not. But I think that any, I don't know, 99.99% of what's music and television and books and movies that are put out today, or poems or whatever, will fall by the wayside within weeks, months, or years.
Uh-huh.
It'll be gone. People will forget it. But. Right, like, who won the Grammy for Best New Artist 2 years ago? Okay.
Who knows?
Yeah, who cares, right? Probably like Mumford and Sons or something, somebody like that.
Perhaps, yeah.
But no one cares about them anymore.
Right.
iHeartRadio does. It's stuff that stands the test of time, right?
By the way, real quick, iHeartRadio, I think they own everything.
Yeah.
Like... I think they every, do. Because you have, like here in St. Louis,
Clear
for example,
Channel Communications is, I think, the parent company who owns iHeartRadio.
I think it may be the other way around. iHeartRadio owns Clear Channel. Either way, mm-hmm. regardless of the way that it is. I, like, every single, there are stations in...
But no, iHeartRadio isn't the parent company. There's another company above them. They're just
conglomeration
that owns the radio stations.
Yeah, but I think they own all of radio. Like, I really think nationwide...
Well, the same parent company who owns... iHeartRadio also owns, I think, Sirius, or XFM or something like that.
So all your satellite too,
basically, yeah.
And the only difference is that they don't tell people what they can't say,
uh-huh.
which isn't that much of a difference.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess it's different because iHeartRadio is just like a hit machine where they just
like we were talking about.
They're just, oh, here's what we're playing, and they just push that button over and over again. You know, during a 12-hour period or whatever it is. Yeah, they own all the radio. Anyways, that was our 12-minute intro to give that some thought. My name is Addison. Joining me is my co-host, Matt Hume. This is Tripod Broadcasting's flagship show. I don't have an intro.
You don't have one?
No. A man who...
Is only drinking coffee today.
He is only drinking coffee today. That was disgusting. I was going to say a man who is free to define art for everybody within his, his own... your own circle of influence or whatever.
A man who says art is the best guess of his opinion.
Well, then it's that for everybody.
Yeah.
No, I'll take that definition. No, I hate to do this.
But art is subjective, and so that's why,
No, it totally is. Yeah. I hate to do this because we've started off on what I feel like is a great note, a very intelligent note. Uh-huh. It spawned off of a discussion, I believe it was 2 episodes ago, that we had about Switchfoot saying that their music isn't Christian, which you and I from the ground up still agree with and is still kind of appreciated, at least what he had to say about that. But I hate to do this because the stories that I have are so terrible. Like, they're about everything. Like, this episode is going to be about... Are you looking at some of those headlines?
Yeah, turn the screen a little bit. That way I can see these headlines.
Yeah. We're not the highest tech here at Tripod One.
Okay.
Yeah, this is for...
I see two Clinton headlines.
Well, there's two... There's... I don't remember where that came from. There was this, and then there was something else about... I don't know if I saved it, but... Oh, I remember what it was.
I could talk for days about that subject you were just pointing out.
Yeah, well, we're going to, and that's this was the other one. It just okay. This is the headline that it pulled, but it's about how, and I thought it'd be interesting to discuss not only the politics of that, but the implications. Anyways,
yeah,
I'm going to go back to this episode is going to be about the Clintons and marijuana.
Okay,
which I hate to do after discussion of art. Like, we had a great discussion. Maybe that should be the episode. We'll just do a 15-minute episode, and this can be a bonus crap episode.
Yeah.
Either way, yeah, some of these other stories that I was talking about are for our other show, TV Teardown, which we'll hopefully be putting out an episode here within the week. I don't even know which one to start. Let's start here and move into the other one. Okay. So Hillary Clinton, I guess, Hillary Clinton is a...
Excuse us, folks. More technical difficulties here. Tripod one.
I didn't just drop my microphone.
Addison likes to act like one of the cool kids, like one of the young rappers.
Well, I was trying to move it.
And he holds he takes his mic stand and the mic stand is sitting on a table. He jacks it up as high as it can go, and then he tilts the mic so that it's on a 45-degree angle with the head of the mic.
But that way,
slanted down.
But when you're not head on, you get a little bit better sound.
Yeah,
I do. Actually know what I'm talking about.
No, like, it's true, you do, which is why I'm kind of slanted over here, but my mic is still horizontal.
It's not that
yours...
high, though. Look at the way it's tilted. Like,
no,
it's
I know,
barely
but
tilted.
You tilted it even more.
And then knocked it out. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, it hit the
table. It hit the... It fell
out.
Hit
your chin, and then the table on the way down.
All, both of them, or just them?
Yep.
But it hit both of them?
It hit both of them.
No.
Anyway, what's Hill Dog up to?
That was the rubbery sound. Here's the headline, and it's from I don't even know if I want to say, because I have no idea what this site does or what they're about, but...
Well, what's the website?
Truthrevolt.org. Yeah. It doesn't ring...
Yeah, that sounds like some guy in his 40s in his basement being like, the Democrats are evil! Liberals run the media! I'm going to start my own media! Truthrevolt.com. We're going to tell the truth about...
Wealth.org.
About revolting.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly like what it sounds like. And I can't speak to the website. I have no idea what kind of website it is.
Yeah.
I really don't. But that's... the site of origination. And the headline is Hillary Clinton on guilty pleasure. I'm trying to think of the G-rated ones, which I thought you would find interesting and potentially be able to surmise on that.
Uh-huh.
Hillary Clinton is attending the Mental Health and Addiction Conference in Washington today, an event from the National Council for Behavioral Health. Answering a question about her, quote, guilty pleasure, the former first lady and expectant grandmother reportedly had this rather unexpected response. I'm just trying to think of the G-rated ones. She then said chocolate.
She said, I'm trying to think of the G-rated ones?
Yes.
Okay.
Those were her words, yeah.
Sure. Why is this a story? Well, who cares? Does this affect what she's going to do as a president? No, it doesn't matter.
As a president. So in your mind, it's already sealed.
No, it's not already sealed. She's not. She doesn't stand a snowball's chance in hell of winning at all. She's not going to win.
Okay.
Elizabeth Warren will be the clear front-running Democrat after a couple
you
months.
You sound just like Rolling Stone.
Well, it's
I think
true.
They say the same thing.
It's true.
Or a couple other people. I don't know where I've read it at. I haven't done a lot of
Here's the thing, Addison.
Lately.
Like Rolling Stone, my opinion carries a lot of weight. Intellectually.
Is that? Okay.
Go
on.
And unlike Rolling Stone, intellectually, I draw a lot of water.
And unlike Rolling Stone, no one pays attention to you.
No. My opinions carry weight, and I draw a lot of water intellectually. So when I say,
okay,
so when I put
on
my stamp of approval on Elizabeth Warren, there are literally tens
of thousands of, yeah,
people,
uh-huh,
who are going to follow my lead.
And just right there.
Exactly.
So case closed then.
Yeah.
So essentially, if I can boil this down a little further, we shouldn't even vote because you've already made the decision.
I've already locked it down.
You've already, okay, yeah, locked it in.
Uh-huh. For instance, the Iowa caucuses called me the other day and they said, hey,
on your phone that doesn't work or a different one?
My phone that doesn't work. They said, hey, Matt.
So caucus calls can go through phones that don't work. Good to know.
Well, yeah, they're powerful people. The Iowa caucus has called me up and and said, "Hey, Matt, this is the Iowa caucuses." And I was like, "Hey, caucuses, what's going on?
Hey, caucuses, what's happening? I'm just playing some video games."
And they said, "I was playing a little Tomb Raider, maybe going to masturbate later on. What are you doing? What are you up to?" And the caucuses said, "Hey, we want to know who you think is going to be the front runner.
Give us your name.
Yeah, who should we stuff the straw ballot box with?
Yeah, just let us know and we'll fill it up.
Yeah.
And election sealed."
And my first choice is will always be Kaiser Soze. But after that,
who is that?
It's the lead character from The Usual Suspects, one of the greatest movies ever made.
Okay.
Anyway.
Go on.
So I said, my second choice is Elizabeth Warren, so that's going to happen. But anyway, we're talking about Hill Dog. But I was about to say that why is it her guilty pleasures, like
I don't know, eating I think
chocolate,
that's
why is it, it's not important.
Yeah.
It's not important what her guilty, she has other guilty pleasures besides G-rated ones or PG-rated ones. She has some R pleasures. Well, yes, everybody does.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Because by definition, the video games I play are rated M for mature.
Mm-hmm.
Those are so many guilty pleasures. I've been playing a lot of video games lately.
Yeah, but
with the work schedule I'm in. But
I don't know. Like no one talks about how JFK used to have sex parties
in
the White House gardens. Right. But apparently Bill getting a blowjob
is the end of
in the Oval Office. It's not.
I love that you mentioned that because that parlays into the next
story. It's not behavior befitting a president.
Oh, certainly
in the
not.
Oval Office. No, not at all. However, it's not something that's affecting his policy.
Debatable.
I don't think it's debatable.
It depends on what policy decisions he was making mid-beach.
Here's the thing.
Because
powerful people have become powerful people for many reasons, but one of the
their
specific
good looks
reasons,
and their money.
Well, one of the specific reasons, I believe, is they have the ability to compartmentalize. They can say, okay, this problem's over here, this problem's over here, and when I go home to my family, I take care of family stuff, and now I'm going back to
these
bigger problems.
Politicians are prone to the whole a play at work and a play at home.
Exactly. I think
that's
most people are.
That's a really, really interesting point of view.
But I think most powerful men and women, when they get to that point.
Powerful men and women, because there's only one of them. There's only one powerful woman. There's many powerful men, but there's only one powerful woman.
When powerful men and women.
You'll never be able to run for anything.
When powerful men
law enforcement.
And women. Or run for a donut. When someone's like, "Hey, anybody want the last donut?"
Bam.
I'll take it.
Just in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's it? Where was that donut?
You said there was one more. Yeah. I've been lied to. Yeah.
No. But
so towards a donut or away from law enforcement, the only running that Matt Hume will ever do, that could be the opener. I should go back and edit that. My co-host, a man who will only ever run towards a donut or away from law enforcement, Matt Hume.
Thank you, Edison. No, but as I was saying, I think the ability to compartmentalize is something that powerful men and women
develop or have
naturally.
I think you might be onto something.
So I don't think that's why I don't think that Hillary or Elizabeth Warren having their period when they're in the Oval Office is a big deal at all.
Oh, it's a tragedy.
Or Bill Clinton.
They should go to space or run for president while on their period.
Yeah.
Throwback to last week's episode.
Or, you know, like George W. Bush going to his ranch in Texas. Like, I don't think that was a big deal either. You know.
It was a cocaine joke.
Yeah. Or Barack Obama being on The Tonight Show. Like, right? He has the ability to compartmentalize, so. But I'm sure this article is going to mention something about Benghazi, right?
No, this article, and the reason that I was glad that you mentioned the whole Clinton thing is because that's what this article is. Apparently, Monica Lewinsky is talking about the affair for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Did you already see this?
I've heard a little bit about it because I saw a headline where it's like, Monica says, bury the blue dress, something like that.
Or whatever, yeah. I guess that's what they're calling it.
But she's basically coming out of hiding to say, stop talking about me, right?
When everyone stopped talking about her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
20 years ago, no one cares anymore.
Yeah. 10 years ago.
It was like 1997, 98, something like that.
I'm pretty sure, like, for example, at my job, if I made a Bill Clinton joke, there's a good percentage no one there would know what I meant.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
That's
obviously,
sad.
Sure.
I one time, actually, let me see if I can recall this right. I one time made a joke in class when I was in college that it was a dated joke like that, way back to like early politics. And I can't remember what it was, but the only person, because usually, I mean, I was kind of a class cut up in general, but and I would make other people laugh or, you know, just, haha, like, you know, and not always double entendres. I would try and make it fairly intelligent. But I did this one time, and the only person to laugh was the professor. And, like, he completely stopped and just, haha, that's pretty good. Like, yeah. Just totally, you know, hook, line, and sinker. And I felt amazing because I'm like, of all the people I want to laugh in this class and appreciate where I'm coming from intellectually, mm-hmm. it's the professor. Yeah. I don't care about any of these other hungover 18-year-olds with Starbucks, yeah. you know? But, yeah.
I kind of feel like that makes a joke even more special.
When the person that you're making it for gets it?
No, not necessarily when the person you're making it for gets it, but when you make a referential joke or use referential humor and everyone around you is just staring at you like, what?
Yeah.
And one person
yeah.
says like, that was totally. The funniest thing ever.
I get that.
Like the
yeah.
Captain America meme. I get that reference.
Yeah.
You know, like, it feels like you're doing it for just that one person.
Yeah, which is fine.
But yeah, it turns a referential joke into an inside joke.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think any good stand-up comedian, venturing off before we get into this article, I think any good stand-up comedian, like if you're going to go see a comedy show or watch 90 minutes of a stand-up, like on Netflix with mm-hmm. your wife or significant other, whatever it is,
sure.
or a woman, for you, Matt, you might not know what that means, but people do those things.
Like a date?
Kind of, yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to go on one of those one day.
Maybe you will. Yeah. Soon. No, but if you're doing that, there should be things that I feel like the majority of things you should both laugh at, and then there should be things that only she laughs at and things that only you laugh at.
Sure.
If they're a good comedian, I feel like.
Yeah.
That's just my two cents on that. But yeah, Monica Lewinsky, I guess, is writing in Vanity Fair next month, I believe.
So the article hasn't even come out yet?
No, there's just some, all the buzz quotes are in there.
You gotcha. Know?
Like the main stuff, mm-hmm. which that's weird to me that magazines do that, but whatever. Yeah. Some different things. It's time to burn the beret and bury the blue dress. She also says, quote, I myself deeply regret what happened between me and President Clinton. Let me say it again. I myself deeply regret what happened. So, I mean, that's not really that much of a shocker. This is kind of interesting, though. After 10 years of virtual silence, quote, so silent, in fact, she writes, that the buzz in some circles has been that, and I don't know what circles are still buzzing about this. Again, mm-hmm. like it's just not, you just don't go to happy hour for a drink and be like, have you heard about that Lewinsky girl? Like, yeah. it's just, I don't know that that's happening anywhere.
No, but not at all.
That the buzz in some circles has been that the Clintons must have paid me off. Why else would I ever refrain from speaking out? I can assure you nothing could be further from the truth. So that was mildly interesting. And then there was one other part that was interesting where she talked about how she's kept quiet. Yeah, job hunting. After the scandal, writes Lewinsky, quote, I turned down offers that would have earned me more than $10 million. Seems like an odd arbitrary mm-hmm. number, but because they didn't feel like the right thing to do. So I'm guessing Playboy. That's pretty simple.
Probably.
Probably. Yeah. After moving between London, where she got her master's degree in social psychology at the London School of Economics, Los Angeles, New York, Portland, Oregon, she interviewed for numerous jobs in communications and branding. Seems like an odd field for somebody who made that choice, with an emphasis on charity campaigns.
But I don't think she made too much of a choice, man, in the White House.
Well, apparently what she says in here, because under the headline of Correcting the Record, and this is actually from Vanity Fair, Lewinsky writes, she's still recognized every day. Well, yeah, obviously, yada, yada, yada. Characterized. There's one part that about that. Although she regarded Bill as having engaged in, quote, gross inappropriate behavior, the affair was nonetheless consensual, was not a power relationship.
Yeah.
So, doesn't really seem abusive. But
no, it's not abusive, but she was definitely taken advantage of. She was an intern in the White House. And think about that. Think about the mind trip that is. And then suddenly the president, like, president
is making nonstop
has, well, nonstop, I mean, his wife's there sometimes, obviously, but nonstop, man. Anytime he's around females, right, they're either very powerful or very pretty. Most of the time, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
largely,
like, he has he's the president of the United States. He
and,
has access.
And neither the two shall meet, actually, if I could make a quick joke about how powerful women are never attractive. Nancy Pelosi. Go on. All old political women look terrible, Matt.
Yeah, but it's because they're all old. Like, how many supermodels are there in their 50s?
But there are still beautiful women in their 40s and 50s. They're sure. just not powerful.
Sure.
Why is that?
Because most of the time, beautiful women all have to struggle and scrap to become as intelligent.
But they should still be powerful. Why don't they make that choice?
Yeah, but because it's a lot harder to make something of yourself
when you have to
you're
work for
not
her.
Not attractive, and so you struggle and survive.
Speaking
you have to get
as
smarter,
a fellow
you have to
non-attractive person,
you have
yourself.
To become cunning. You have to, and I think that beautiful people don't develop the skills early on in life that you need. Mm-hmm. To make it that far in life. I think you can have some very attractive men who are in positions of power most of the time because they have money behind them. Hmm. But with women, you don't have a lot of good-looking women because most of the time good-looking women have already been made wives.
Or at a certain point, I think you probably make a decision like this. I mean, I'm not... That sounds wildly sexist to me, and let me clarify. I think if you're...
Well, we're kind of dancing around sexism without trying... We're dancing around...
Well, I'm trying not to be sexist, though. But
I'm not either, and nothing I'm saying I feel is sexist, but I'm trying... Anyway, I was trying to make a broader point, but go ahead.
Well, if you're really beautiful, and you're pursuing... And I think this is where you were going with this, and you're pursuing a spot at the White...
I don't know where I was going with it.
Pursuing a spot at the White House. That comes with certain... People are going to make passes at you, from the president to the janitor, right?
Yeah.
And... bad decisions can happen. And
yeah.
that's not, I'm not saying women are stupid or there's really no sexism there as much as it sounds like it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just saying that a bad decision is more easily to be made. Cause if you're butt ugly, the door for that bad decision is going to be largely permanently closed. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's just the way it is.
Yeah. And there are a lot of doors that are closed. And so you have to find a way to open them.
Right.
So if you go through your whole life walking through open doors, never having to figure out and develop cunning to open those doors,
and kick doors down.
When you get to a certain point where the doors won't open for you automatically anymore because, hey, you have some wrinkles now or your ass got fat.
Okay.
You don't have the cunning and the ability to open those doors without
40 years
those
of
good
doors
looks.
Just opening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think that people like Nancy Pelosi, people like... Elizabeth Warren, they're not unattractive, but no, they probably weren't supermodels back in the day, sure. But
right.
they've gotten to a point now, like Hillary. Hillary's never been attractive.
No,
okay.
not in a picture that I've seen.
Right? Even pictures from like the 60s of her and Bill and stuff like that, like or her early days. Like, but she's gotten to a point because she had to develop intelligence and brains. I doubt no one ever said to her, oh, you're such a pretty girl when she was like 8 years old, right? Or even 12 years old, or even 15.
Yeah.
So she had to develop survival skills that pretty girls don't develop, which is why she's where she is today. And Monica Lewinsky is a very attractive girl. Thick.
Yeah, actually, there's a picture here.
Okay, well, you look it up.
Well, no, this is with the article, I guess.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Good looking.
I thought that was interesting because this is
like
the first picture
I've ever
seen.
Like a young Kirstie Alley, but like dark.
But this is the first picture I've seen of her. Because I saw all the photos, obviously, you know, when the whole thing broke or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is the first picture where I'm like, oh, okay, she is pretty. Like, I'll just be honest. Like, it seemed like all those pictures were like grainy,
yeah,
almost mugshot quality.
And we need to talk about Monica Lewinsky in two phases of her life. Mm-hmm. Okay, pre-scandal and post-scandal.
Right.
So, young girl.
Yeah.
Early 20s, just out of college, interning. She gets an internship at the White House. Now she's good looking.
Dream
okay?
internship.
She's smart
for the nation.
Right.
Right.
And now she's thick.
Mm-hmm.
But that just happens to be Bill's fetish.
Here
man after
go.
My own heart.
Here we go. I knew you were
so
gonna...
she gets picked to be in the White, like to be a White House intern.
Uh huh.
Okay. Now whether or not her body type had anything to do with that, her getting picked, that's beside the point.
Right.
Probably because she was really intelligent.
Yeah. There's a good possibility.
The president
yeah.
doesn't pick the interns.
Right.
Okay. So it's because she was smart and because she was capable. That's why, or because she knew somebody, which knowing somebody sometimes takes
some
sort of capability
some
or some intelligence.
Some extra.
So she got picked to be an intern
at the White House.
And all of a sudden, she has this very powerful man. mm-hmm. who she has access to. His access to people is very limited, which why in his past he's had so many affairs with fat chicks who have been around him, Kathleen Willey and the rest, right? Like, it's all... So they have their affair, which she... No, listen.
No, I've got a question that I think is hilarious.
Okay,
do you think the office of President of the United States breeds chubby chasers?
No. No.
Sorry. I thought that was really funny.
No. But that's beside the point. But she's in the in the Oval Office.
Right.
All of a sudden the most powerful man or one of the most powerful men in the world is
making
paying attention
passes
to her
or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So
showing her attention beyond
with that much power and, you know, it's Bill Clinton. He's very charismatic. He may not be a really, really good-looking guy, mm-hmm. although for some reason people thought he was good-looking back in the 90s. That's weird to me.
Yeah, I don't really...
But, you know, he's very charismatic, right? Has,
right.
We've been told, like, very intense when you're in a personal relationship, like, mm-hmm. or face-to-face, very intense.
Fairly
like,
well-spoken. I mean, he's the president.
He's a Rhodes Scholar. The guy's brilliant. The guy's one of the smartest people in America. Mm-hmm. Continues to be. He's a musician, right? He's how would it not be easy for this girl? He's kind of just swept off her feet, and anything he says, she's like, yeah.
Even if it was a big CEO.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah.
She's just going to be
power
swept
and
off
the
her
prestige
feet.
And the intelligence package so, are all there, and it just happens that the situation occurs in the White
her,
House.
The biology and wiring of her brain overrides any intelligence that's there. It would be the same thing for me. Like if
the smart part of the brain that tells you not to sleep with the President of the United States. Or get involved with, rather.
Well, for instance, if Christina Hendricks came in this room right now and was like, Matt, go commit an armed robbery with this gun, right. Kill this other dude, and then you can come over to my place and we'll hang out. I'd be, okay, yeah, sure,
yeah.
I'll do that.
Which dude?
Yeah. I don't know. Don't even care. I'll just kill a random person for
you. I'll kill all of them, right. I'll kill every dude I see between here and there.
No, but it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Because you put this person on a pedestal, and all of a sudden you're working for them, you're in close contact. So that's pre-Monica Lewinsky. So I don't blame her at all.
No, I really don't either.
Post-Monica Lewinsky is even more of a sad story. Because on one hand, you have Ken Starr in the GOP trying to unseat...
She does make some remarks about Matt Drudge in here also, by
yeah,
the way,
you have,
about how he ruined her life and stuff.
Yes, because...
you do know, for our listeners, Matt Drudge gained his popularity by breaking this story.
Yes.
Like, uh-huh. he's the one that did that whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me get back on my train of thought here.
Ken Starr, GOP.
Yes, thank you. Anyway, Ken Starr,
mm-hmm.
who was the special investigator
mm-hmm.
Investigating the shenanigans at the White House.
Yeah.
And so... He was trying to dig up dirt on Monica Lewinsky the whole time.
And make it look as bad as they could.
Make her look like a capitalizing leech, like a slut.
Yeah.
Like someone who was just trying to tear the president down.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Not Monica. Bill.
Right.
Trying to make Bill look like a slut. Like trying to make Bill look like this leecherous old pervert.
Right.
Okay. That was the GOP. Who was trying to make Bill look as bad as possible by having this affair in the White House. Ooh.
Hands on every intern.
Every
terrible person.
Exactly. Every president. Every powerful man has gotten as much poon as he can while he's as powerful as he can. That's just biological urge. Powerful rich men try to have sex with a lot of women.
Except pastors.
Yeah.
I'm glad I was able to make you laugh with a joke that I thought was funny.
Yeah, except pastors.
Never with the opposite, the same sex either.
Yeah. Then on the side of the Democrats, you had the entire Democratic Party trying to make Monica Lewinsky look to be this lecherous slut who wormed her way into the White House so that she could specifically take advantage of Bill Clinton to advance her political career.
All of which is ridiculous on both sides of that.
Yeah. So she was used as a pawn by both political parties,
mm-hmm.
and... They didn't care about her because she has zero political clout. She has zero traction.
She's an intern.
She all this stuff that happened to her in the late 90s.
What she had was a job.
Happened to her.
Right.
She didn't cause any of it.
Right.
The only way thing she did to cause it was say yes.
Yeah.
When Bill slid his hand down the crack of her ass. So sensual. No, but you understand what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. Yeah.
So the real villains here are the Democrats who vilified her. The GOP who vilified her, and Bill Clinton who took advantage of her.
And said, opened a door that he shouldn't have opened in the position that he was.
And took advantage of her.
Yeah.
Took advantage of that situation.
Yeah. And I'll say this. I was really young at the time. I'm 26 now, so do the math, whatever I was, whenever that happened.
I was like 12, 13 when it came out.
Yeah, so I would have been probably 11, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe a little younger. But
no, you're probably like 9.
Yeah, 9, 10. But it seemed to me at that time that he got off way easier. Like, it seemed like it was just like all of a sudden impeach, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then a few months, and that just kind of floated on by, and no one cares at all.
Yeah.
And here he is, a president at a library and everything else. And it, aside from the occasional joke, the decision rested with him because it always does in a relationship. Mm-hmm. When a man makes that decision, I mean, very rarely does it rest with the other side, I think it's mm-hmm. fair to say, right? And it just seems like there was really no repercussions, really, except for the one
for him.
whole impeachment thing. When he, to me, is making the dumbest decision of anyone in the whole situation.
Yeah.
That's always been my take on it.
Yeah.
And it will always be in my mind is that.
If you look at the Clintons' past, it's pretty clear the picture you get is that Hillary doesn't care about him going around and doing what he does.
Like, so a real Frank and Claire relationship.
Kind of, yeah. Like, she doesn't really care. Yeah. Like, she had that look on her face, like, during the late 90s, like, the Ken Starr trials and stuff. Like, she the look on her face was bored.
Or let's get this out of the way.
Exactly.
I have to put my time in here, and this is pointless.
Yeah. But it.
No, you're right.
She did come out, I think, smelling like a rose compared to everybody else who came out of that whole fiasco.
Yeah.
Because, she has a lot of sympathies of people who hope she was cheated on. Well, yeah, but she didn't care if she was cheated on.
Yeah.
You know, she hitched her wagon to a man with charisma. Was extremely intelligent, and they became
the most
powerful
man in the Western
world. Well, they became very powerful together, and then he became the most powerful man in the Western world.
Yeah.
And she has the chance to do the same thing herself and be the president, but I don't think it's going to happen. People know too much about Hillary, this Benghazi stuff. No matter if you understand, and I don't even understand the whole Benghazi situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the point of Benghazi, is they don't want us to really understand.
And a lot of other political
events. They don't want us to understand. They just want us, as long as they can keep throwing up Benghazi.
As long as there's headlines.
And we associate the word Benghazi with a negative,
mm-hmm.
and that word Benghazi, that negative connotation of the word Benghazi with Hillary Clinton, that's all they want to do.
It's all you need.
They don't care whether or not you know the facts. They don't care whether or not you know skewed facts.
Same thing with
the
IRS, Obamacare.
Obamacare is the same thing. Yeah. Obamacare and Benghazi, it's the same thing. Just two different people are targeted.
Yeah.
Obamacare, they don't care whether or not you know the facts about the situation. They just want you to connect a negative with Obamacare.
Yeah.
And so it's a negative with
Benghazi.
People
that are good at branding know how to do that stuff brilliantly.
Yeah.
Like, that's like people that are pulling the strings with parties and institutions and lobbying platforms and things like that in the United States and in particular in Western media, like, make no mistake, that's exactly what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you think people aren't this sounds a little conspiratorial, but if you think that people aren't deciding what goes on the news and when and why and how and all of that,
yeah,
you're sorely mistaken.
Yeah. We talked about that a couple weeks ago,
we've talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
This show, that's a common
thing. The fact that one man owns 90% of the media in the world, that's newspapers, TV, and news websites.
Rupert Murdoch.
Or not news websites, but like, yeah, TV
respected
and newspapers.
News outlets, yeah.
He still owns a lot of news websites, but.
Yeah.
90% of the print and TV traffic is owned by one guy, and it all has the same message. Every single percentage of that 90% has the
every
same message.
Every single one and zero.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they all are now. But yeah.
So it's pretty clear that they're just trying to spread the same message. It's not about information, but so.
And that message is Illuminati.
Yeah. But you said, you mentioned branding. Monica Lewinsky went to school for branding, right?
Apparently.
Hmm. Maybe she's the one who branded this whole Benghazi thing to get back at Hillary.
Ooh, there you go.
So she could steal
Maybe
Bill
she
away.
Even did it.
Yeah. Monica Lewinsky at Benghazi.
Yep. Where were you on the night of whatever night that was?
Yeah.
That's something, a line from a bad cop show. Where were you on that night?
Yeah.
Which night? That night that this happened. But anyways, yeah.
That sounds like a good idea for a detective show. A detective show. Non-specific detective.
Yeah.
He's like, we're going to get this bad guy.
Did you use a murder weapon?
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you doing on that night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all ambiguous things.
Is this blood?
Or is that barbecue sauce?
Right.
Nope. That's barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Nope. That's blood. Pete Holmes does a great skit about that.
It's blood and barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
Moving on to the second half. We already talked about the Clintons. Now we're going to talk about weed.
Okay.
In one of your favorite subjects. But in two things. Two news stories I saw. And I could just give the real quick facts of it. Ohio, as we know, January 1st, 2014, began selling legalized marijuana for anyone over the age of 21.
Ohio?
No, not Ohio. Colorado.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Colorado. Anyone over the age of 21, recreationally, you don't have to have a prescription. You have to be over 21. You can buy weed. You can smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's limitations on how much you can buy and how much you can have on you.
Up to an ounce.
If, for example, you're pulled over.
Yeah.
That kind of
thing. Which is a lot of weed, and you can't use it in public.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. I think for certain events you can, though. Because they have certain, like concerts and things. I think it's specific places you can. Just like alcohol, though.
Yeah.
If you think about it, I mean, you know, you like we go to fairs down here in downtown St. Charles here in Missouri. You know, no alcohol can leave the park. Same kind of thing.
It's, yeah.
You can do it there. Catch it next week when there's no fair there. You can't drink there.
Yeah.
So, you know, same kind of regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Colorado, it's from the AP. The opening months of Colorado's first-in-the-nation recreational marijuana industry have seen a rise in fiery explosions and injuries as pot users tried to make the drugs intoxicating oil in crude home-based laboratories. So this is people making hash oil and blowing themselves up. Matt, your thoughts on this? Is this, because I'll tell you, let me quick give the two sides to this, as I'm so good at doing, I can always see the two sides. The two sides are, marijuana legalization is bad. See, people are blowing themselves up. And the other side is, you people are being stupid, trying to do something with something that it's not made for that. And the same thing could happen if they were doing it with methamphetamine or with moonshine and a distillery. Exact same thing could happen. Two sides, which are you
this
on?
This website,
what do you think?
Is?
AP.
Okay.
Associated Press.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just an Associated Press story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one that I saw.
Well, here's the thing.
Which is one of the few places I will say that news maybe is really just news.
Yeah.
But
stories like this people are going to point to and say, "Yeah, see they're right. blowing themselves up. You know, it's legalized now, so people are trying to take these massive amounts of pot that they have and make, you know, hemp oil out of it."
Right.
Basically what you're making is hash oil.
Uh-huh.
Which is, you're trying to get simply the THC into, condense it down into an essential oil, where you're just trying to extract the THC from the cannabis, and then that's what you use to get high.
Except, which is what people do for other extracts, cranberry, like, right? Like that
it
process
happens all the time.
Yeah.
Except if they did explode, these laboratories at homes, quote unquote, did explode.
Right.
It's probably not because the marijuana exploded, because marijuana can explode.
There is no flammable
or reactionary chemical in cannabis.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was...
Plants don't spontaneously combust, Matt.
No. Well, with lighters, when you light them on fire, but
well,
if...
Well, it's not spontaneous,
if
but
marijuana
yeah.
could explode...
Right.
Or
imagine
was it explosive?
The high.
Well, no. Imagine what would happen the first time somebody got stoned. They would blow up. Like, marijuana wouldn't be a problem.
This is great.
You wouldn't even be able to get high. You would literally light
inhale,
the green.
And then explode.
Get a cherry, inhale, and boom. You just put the lighter to the weed, and boom. It would explode.
Right.
Just like cheap glass and ashes everywhere.
And people would probably stop doing it. After one or two people did that.
Yeah.
I would think.
After the third person in the row blew up when they tried to smoke.
Yeah, they'd be
marijuana.
Like, well, we're onto a different leaf.
Exactly.
Right.
No, but here's the thing that pot does for you. It's not simply the THC that gets you high.
Uh-huh.
THC doesn't get you high.
Mm-hmm.
THC releases chemicals in your brain that get you high.
As with all drugs.
Yes. Right? Chemicals like are already drugs, there.
Yeah. It's in just your brain. Opening and closing how your brain
exactly.
reacts to them. Yeah.
You're just shutting, opening, closing a nozzle.
Yeah.
And cocaine releases different chemicals for you.
And,
okay?
and to
heroin
go the other
releases
way,
different chemicals for you than
caffeine,
marijuana will.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Melatonin to go the other way. Like it's all just all
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what you're doing here is in cannabis, in uh-huh. the actual flower, which is what you smoke.
Right.
There are certain what's called cannabinoids, mm-hmm. and there's a couple hundred of them. And when to a smoker, I could smoke cannabis that had zero THC in it
mm-hmm.
and still get high.
Because
mm-hmm. it's those cannabinoids that are affecting my brain in a certain way. And the not the THC, but the cannabinoids that are in pot
mm-hmm.
are what researchers use for cancer research
right.
and research with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Cannabinoids are extremely useful in Parkinson's and Alzheimer's research.
Right.
They've made great strides in using cannabinoids to decrease tremors in people with Parkinson's.
Right.
To increase memory function with people with Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it's the cannabinoids that are actually good for you.
Right.
And it's not the THC that helps people with AIDS have it get an appetite.
Right.
Okay? It's the cannabinoids. So THC without cannabinoids, I think, is your
misnomer?
Kind of. It's basically like making crack cocaine from coca leaves. Coca leaves, healthy.
Right.
Like drinking a cup of coffee.
Right.
Take those down two steps to cocaine and then to crack, and you have something that will kill you eventually.
Right.
So what you're doing is you're doing an evil, not only for yourself,
mm-hmm.
but also for smokers everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
When you make just THC oil.
Yeah.
And you're using that just to get high. Number one, it's not going to be the same high, and which is why we have a lot of people now with the induction of THC oil who are making stupid decisions, who are getting way too high and
right.
going to the emergency room because they're way too high.
Right.
People who don't really understand, like if you've only smoked marijuana a handful of times.
I literally smoked a handful of marijuana cigarettes.
Yeah. If you've only smoked a couple
marijuana 50 in my mouth yeah. at once.
Let's say you've only smoked marijuana 25, 30 times in your life.
Right.
Over the course of a couple of years, right?
Right.
You are not a hardcore smoker. Like there's no way you should take THC oil because it will mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
You will get into a headspace where you don't understand it. Marijuana is a hallucinogen.
Right.
Okay. It's a mild hallucinogen.
Right.
Like mushrooms, like mm-hmm. LSD. You will trip out. If you get enough of it quickly enough into your brain,
yeah.
your brain will trip out. Mm-hmm. And it will just be. And to someone who's not a seasoned smoker, who doesn't understand
what's
how the high works,
or what, yeah.
the fact that it's just in your mind. And if you have a strong enough mind, you can overcome it and simply enjoy the buzz without having all the negative. That's why I don't get paranoid when I smoke.
Right.
Because I understand that it's simply a chemical reaction in my brain where my brain is misunderstanding certain things and I'm overthinking and overanalyzing the situation.
Yeah.
So I toss the paranoia out.
And real quick, let me make the analogy. The same thing can be done for alcohol. Because
okay.
take your 18-year-old,
mm-hmm.
spring break.
Yeah.
First time drinking, have no idea what alcohol
does
to them.
They're not
going
to use it responsibly.
Yeah, well, exactly. And it, again, has no idea what it does to them. They don't know the difference between one beer or 20 beers
mm-hmm.
or what that's going to do to your body. Alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, that at least to me, I don't smoke. I'm not
yeah.
that familiar with that kind of thing. But it's the same kind of thing. You take an 18-year-old, you throw them in that situation, and they have no concept of what's good or bad. And it's, oh, of course, we're doing beer bongs and shots and jello shots and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And then our liver's failing at 6 a.m., you know, in the emergency
yeah.
room.
But know? I think, like crack cocaine and cocaine itself, or like heroin.
Both of which I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
That's not true.
We know,
mom, I've never
heard of heroin is a derivative of poppy.
Uh-huh.
Cocaine is a derivative of coca leaf. Just like those two things, THC oil
uh-huh.
is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because it's too much too soon. Now, there's a popular meme on Reddit and around called 10 Guy. And it's a photo of this guy who's really, really stoned. And it always has stupid stupid things on
it. I think I know which one that is, yeah.
Like, basically, it's a meme for it when you say a stupid thing and you don't realize how stupid it is until after you've said it.
Right.
Or you have a stupid thought.
Right.
It's called 10 guy. And mm-hmm. the reason why it's called 10 guy is because stoners have a 1 through 10 scale of how high they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You can say, man, I'm in a 10, which means it's the highest you've ever been in your entire life.
Right.
Okay. I'm a seasoned smoker. I don't smoke all the time, but I do imbibe on a regular basis.
Right.
So I know when I'm at a 10. I know when I'm at a 2.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I've only been into 10 a couple times in my life.
Right.
Okay. Most of the time, if I try to get really high, I get about a 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
No one needs to get it to 10 all the time.
And I think that goes for alcohol.
Ever. Same thing with alcohol.
And caffeine, maybe. And yes. Any other substance. You catch adrenaline.
Buzz.
People, yep. Adrenaline junkies do the same thing.
Yep.
Like, you go 90 miles an hour, then you go 100, then you go 1,000 or whatever it is. It's the same thing that you're doing to your brain. And I'm going back to a spiritual place with it, but it's like punching your brain to get a level of pain that you've never felt before.
It's
a weird way to describe it, but that's basically what you're doing to your brain, whether it's marijuana or whatever substance it is.
Yeah.
Or sleep deprivation, or food even, or sex, or any number of other things.
For people who have to get blackout, can only drink if they're getting blackout drunk.
Exactly.
But you don't need, when as a stoner, you don't need to get to a 10 every time. If you smoke one joint and don't get high, what you need to do isn't smoke two joints.
Right.
You need to take a couple days off of smoking,
uh-huh.
and then go back, and you'll smoke a joint, and you'll get it's really, really high.
I do the same thing
with
caffeine. Because
your tolerance gets too high, and you need to lower the tolerance.
I get to 4 energy drinks
a
day.
A
I know there's a problem.
Yeah, you
take a week off energy drinks. 1 energy drink, boom! I can see in the future.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But you have to take a break. You have to understand.
Sounds like I've got a real problem.
You have to understand and be responsible with it. But I think the people who are manufacturing this THC oil, and they sell it legally. You can buy it in head shops now in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
THC oil, and it's pure THC.
But even that, if it's in that state, though, was still regulated by some type of, I mean, it's not the FDA, mm-hmm. but there's some type of regulatory board, right?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
am I?
But what you're doing is you're extracting the intoxicating agent, leaving all the good agents behind, the mm-hmm. cannabinoids, and you're condensing it down to a form that is way too potent for, number one, what biology demands in the natural world. But also for what you need it for, which
right.
is to get buzz and have a good time. That's what pot is supposed to do. You're supposed to catch a buzz and have a good time.
Right.
But you're not supposed to use it to escape from your life. You're not supposed to use it to always be trying to catch a bigger buzz. And that's what this hemp oil is all about, or THC oil. Because hemp oil is a different thing. Hemp oil, you can use like cooking oil. It's something that they get from the actual plant itself, from the actual roots and the
right.
stems and the trunk of the plant.
Just like hemp rope, hemp, whatever.
Exactly. Right. And you can use hemp oil in cooking. It's actually quite good. I've used it before. It's kind of cool. But, this is just, it's too much too fast. And no one needs to be that high.
Yeah.
Because it's like 150 proof alcohol, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to take an ounce
Which
of alcohol
I don't think
and
even legal.
Completely. Yeah, exactly. It's not.
Yeah. And see, that's, I think, take it how you will, but as a non-smoker, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's not my thing.
Yeah.
I don't care that people do it, just like I don't care that people drink 40 beers as long as they stay off the road.
Yeah.
Your liver, your body, your
sure.
quote-unquote good time, your business is how I look at it. I'm very libertarian when it comes to those types of things. But I think Colorado, and maybe this is a good thing, I don't know, but as more and more states eventually, it can be presumed, pass some type of legislation like Colorado has done, eventually I think it will be to the point of, it's the same thing with blood alcohol contents. You know, those are different, varied by different states, you know, in terms of what part of the country you're in, how they view it. And I think that is could potentially be a good thing, because the industry is going to conform over the next 10, 20 years and become something to where it's not, hopefully, the danger that it is now when it's not regulated.
Yeah, here's why.
Which sounds odd, because I'm so libertarian in terms of your substance, your business,
mm-hmm.
but then I'm like, but we need regulation so people aren't killing themselves. But with a substance we like do. That, we do, and we do with alcohol. It's the same thing. 20, yeah. You have to be 21 to drink, right? Because supposedly, the way we look at it is you're not, until you're 21, you don't know the difference between let's drink 20 beers a night, and it's bad for your brain because your brain is still doing critical developing in the ages of 16, 17, 18, 19.
Yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. that's the whole thought process behind it. I think that's the thought process why in Colorado you have to be 21 to smoke, because your brain isn't developed enough to start turning those switches on and off.
I didn't touch marijuana until I was 25, and I thank God for it, because the male brain doesn't stop and body doesn't stop developing until mid to late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Females, it's early 20s.
Right.
So you really, before you're 16, if you do any kind of drug before you're 16, that you're doing tremendous neurological damage to your mind.
I hate when I see like a kid who's just like, I smoke weed all the time. Old, like, seriously, man? Yeah. Like, and you can see it. You can see it more so than like with you, for example. Like, I hang out with you all the time, right? We do the show together. I'm around all the time. And there's just a blankness behind the eyes of kids that are doing, and same thing with alcohol or any other drugs or pills or whatever it is, that it's just like, man, you're just not all there.
Yeah.
You're just not all there.
For instance, the guy I used to, my old roommate from a couple months ago, Ben, right? The guy who was living in the same house,
right?
And moved out. He started smoking pot when he was 12. The guy's
and
20
hasn't
years.
Stopped, right?
Yeah. Hasn't stopped since. So 8 years of smoking pot.
I look at that as put like your brain development, just pushing the pause button on it and
never
letting it go.
No, you're pushing the stop button. You're pushing the stop button.
Yeah, just stop.
Because the brain can't develop the rest of the way.
Because it doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, you can't push the pause button, and then hopefully when you're 30 and you stop smoking weed, your
Take
brain
it off,
will
see what happens.
Keep on developing the
way
it should have when you were a kid. No, the dude was dumb as a box of rocks. Like, seriously, one of the stupidest people I've ever met in my entire life.
And I had a few conversations with him, and that's kind of what I took away from it.
I don't care. He probably doesn't even know how to use the internet to find this podcast. So his name's
Well, I'm going to edit that, but go ahead.
No, but dumb as a box of rocks, but one of those kind of people who thought they're super smart. Like, he thought he was, like, smarter than I was.
Which I think, and you might take this offense to this.
And I'm not that
smart
of a person.
But I think marijuana
person,
does that
but,
to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It really,
really
inflates your sense of self.
Yeah,
and you feel like the thoughts that you're having when you're high, which is one of the things that I've learned, is that my thoughts when I'm high
are way better than sober thoughts.
Well, number one, they are, and I enjoy those thoughts more. But I don't take those thoughts with me into the sober world. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, my high thoughts are my high thoughts, and I leave them in my. And I enjoy them, and it's a fun time, but I leave them there.
Yeah.
Because I know that that's not the rational side of my mind.
That's not
mind
the real world.
To me.
Right.
That's some sort of amalgamation of reality that I'm placing together, and I think it's this great idea when it's not. It's a terrible idea.
Right.
But yeah, but too much too fast with this THC oil, and that's why I think the next 10 years, say, in the regulation of marijuana will be
with
so crucial.
With the proving grounds of...
Because what we're going to have is we're going to have state-by-state laws.
Uh-huh.
Well, what we need is a federal law. It needs to be decriminalized on a federal level. That way we have the same laws everywhere. We need to
What do you do with all the people in prison for possession?
That would be a hard thing to do, and it's one of the
biggest challenging.
Yeah, one of the questions we have to answer. Yeah. I would say depending on their
whether it's a violent crime or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, but if it's simply possession, and don't kid yourself, people are in prison for possession.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there'd be some arbitrary, if it was over this amount or intent to distribute or something like that, because certainly people are doing things they shouldn't or with taxes or whatever. But there are people, not a whole lot, not a ton, majority of prisons, but there are people that are in prison for having a few ounces of marijuana on them.
Mm-hmm.
That happens.
Yeah.
You know, which, again, not a smoker, not my thing, don't really care, but that's a little wild to me.
Yeah, but that's one of the reasons why I believe we need, and as someone who has...
It'd be like going to prison for a bottle of Jack.
Yeah. As someone who has those same sort of libertarian ideas that you have, we need a regulatory industry to regulate marijuana in this country.
Yeah. Just like we have for
If you're going
alcohol.
State by state, Colorado may have no cap on THC levels.
Mm-hmm.
And Wyoming may, but we need caps on THC levels. For instance, the weed our fathers and grandfathers smoked was probably between 3% and 10% THC.
Right.
And 10% being the best pot they could get, like late '70s, early '80s pot.
Mm-hmm.
Pot in the '90s, got up to about 12-15%. It wasn't until about 15 years ago that we had this big pot explosion of
saturated.
But hydroponics.
Okay.
The hydroponic
growth systems.
Hydroponic weed growth. And all of a sudden you had THC levels go from 12% to 20% within the course of a couple years.
Right.
And now they're up to 25. This is for just the regular buds, okay, regular pot you'd buy, 25%, 30% THC now, which is 25% of the bulk of that bud is crystallized THC.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
Marijuana
if you
oil.
Compare that to alcohol, a rough comparison, let's say that the, like 10 to 12 is like drinking
you
beer.
You can't, no, you can't.
Or it's, it still doesn't even...
You really, it's the two different buzzes.
Right. Well, no, I don't mean compare that. I mean compare just levels in terms of of what is available.
Smoking a joint of 25% THC is good, is compared to drinking 8 beers instead of 4 beers.
Or 2 shots.
Yeah, but yeah, it's totally different buzz. Just, you can't... Yeah. Yeah.
Well, your head's... Because you're a smoker, your head's caught up in that.
Oh, like, yeah.
No, I just mean, to me, it's completely separated in terms of...
Yeah, okay.
I'm looking at it in terms of content in the substance itself, as opposed to... But anyways.
But basically, we need a THC cap. I think anything over 25% should be illegal. This is 100% THC, this marijuana
oil. That is supposedly
blowing
up and all this.
Right.
In these... Oh, my...
Yeah, and it's not blowing up. It's you know, the stoner getting super, super high and forgetting they left the oven on, right? Or
probably
it's stuff like that that's happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, we need a cap on THC levels in this country if we're going to have successful marijuana laws. And I think that'll come eventually.
Yeah. Just like we have blood alcohol content.
Yep.
I mean, you know, to again, draw the only parallel.
Or alcohol content, you know, you can't get over 100 proof, right? So you can't get over...
I don't think so.
100 proof is 50% alcohol.
Yeah. Not in the United States. I don't think you can get...
Yeah. So like 200 proof would be 100% alcohol.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
But still, even then, it's still up to your consumption, right? Like whatever you can buy, it's still up to your consumption. And if you're on the highway and you blow whatever, that's on you for the legal for whatever it is, you know, or you'll run your car into a tree and kill yourself, you know, which is a possibility. But this other thing is that in Texas, 100 plus overdose on synthetic marijuana in 5 days.
Which is why weed needs to be legalized. Go ahead. Was that all you had?
No, that was an interesting point. I was trying to think of how I felt about that, and I don't know that I feel one way or the other about it.
Synthetic marijuana is terrible. It is evil, and it is bad.
Well, this specific drug listed is K2, but...
K2, it was the biggest name on the market for a while, but in most states, K2 is legalized, or made illegal. However, it started maybe 10 years ago in laboratories in New Zealand and in Switzerland. These people were trying to synthesize marijuana so that they could sell it legally.
And it's kind of more of like a hookah, like a mash.
No. It's a dried leaf. It looks like potpourri when you get it.
But it's then soaked or treated.
Like small pieces of potpourri, like ground up potpourri. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you... put it all on the big sheet, and you take a machine and you just spray this chemical spray over it. And now the chemical is a certain chemical that makes your brain hallucinate, kind of like THC does. And as people made these chemicals illegal,
just change the chemical.
Exactly. They would tweak the chemical.
It's what it notes in this
so
article,
that
it's
all
not
of a sudden
illegal.
It's
legal.
Because
right,
it's a different chemical.
Right.
But what happens is you go from... Well, I smoked K2 when it first came out, and honestly, I got a buzz like THC, and it didn't really mess with my mind too much. I haven't smoked that, however, in about 3 years.
Right.
Now, what's happened is that over the course of time...
Well, I think we can still see the permanent damage.
Yeah. But over the course of time, as these chemicals are made illegal, they go back and they change their recipe. And so you go from chemical to chemical to chemical, and you go from your A-plus chemicals... that you say, okay, these are safe, these
to
are good to use, to
whatever.
The B chemicals, to the D chemicals, to the chemicals that have skulls and crossbones on them, because if you ingest them, you're going to die.
Right.
And
which is the same thing, that could be almost be likened to meth, because isn't that kind of what, like...
No, there's maybe like 2 or 3 ways to cook meth.
Well, but ways to cook it, but not everybody's doing it like Walter White, you know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between Walter White and your like Lincoln County folks, right? Sure. And we can make that joke because we're from Missouri, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's people out there that are toothless and cracked out 24/7 mm-hmm. and blowing themselves up, right? Yeah. That's just a fact.
But these are like, you know, educated chemists who mm-hmm. are doing this. Mm-hmm. And you know, you get to the point now where this synthetic marijuana that's out there today, as opposed to 3 or 4 years ago, is stuff that will seriously mess up your mind.
And putting people in the hospital and or killing them, right.
And they're trying to frame this debate, saying that, look, people who are using the synthetic THC, the same chemical compound, but it's not the same chemical. They're saying it's the same chemical compound that's making them
right.
go out of their mind. It's not. It's completely different. It's chemicals that are totally synthetic that should never go in the human body period. Mm-hmm. But because marijuana has been outlawed, people are going to try and subvert those laws. And one of those subversions is to make a synthetic marijuana that's legal.
Just like during Prohibition.
Yeah. And so when you outlaw K2, they came out with K3 and then K4 and K5. And it's just...
K12 is the biggest buzz for your buck, though, yeah. Kids. Take that home.
K20 will outright kill you.
right. Anything, but no, you can't. Anything from K-12 to K-18, worth ingesting, mm-hmm. 19 and 20, stay away.
Yeah, they will kill you.
Dangerous.
But the law can't outpace the outlaws. You can't make laws fast enough.
And quick note, in terms of give that some thought, that goes for anything.
Yeah.
Guns, yeah. Alcohol, substances, speed limits, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Radar detectors. I can think, my mind is buzzing so hard right now with all the applications that what you just said applies to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The law
absolutely
will never outpace. Like, look at the internet. The Pirate Bay. Like, things like that. Like, it will never outpace.
Yeah. There are literally hundreds but anyways, and
that's just
thousands.
Such a great point. I wanted to make sure
I'm about to spend it. There are literally hundreds and thousands of people out there that as soon as you make a new law, those people are finding ways to subvert it before the laws even...
Or outright break it in a better way.
Exactly. Before laws are even put on the books, you have people who are looking for ways to subvert that law.
Yes.
It's not just applies to tax code, but it applies to things like this.
Yeah, tax code, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Or the internet, or whatever it is.
Yeah. The only thing that laws do is makes... Well, the only thing that a lot of laws do, or new legislation does, is make smarter criminals.
Right.
And if we,
by the way, did they ever find the methamphetamine in this apartment complex?
I don't know.
That was really weird.
I doubt it. I didn't see any cops rolling by here, but there's a. I mean, we live like two blocks down from the police station, the St. Peter's Police Headquarters.
Do you think they just do like
like random checks?
Pattern just out like, oh, we're doing a 2 mile radius today, boys. Yeah. Just put on your meth noses and let's go see what we can find. And the cop that comes back with the most meth. Most donuts.
Mm-hmm.
Gold Star.
Yeah. I'm not sure what that was, but yeah, there's no...
That was really weird.
They have no reason to look here.
Yeah.
Or in this apartment complex from what I've seen.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, because I've been coming in here a while because one of our other friends lives here. There's a guy with a Dodge Viper right out here.
Yeah.
It's like a $100,000 car. Parks it right out here every mm-hmm. single day. Like, it's a fairly nice... For the area, it's a fairly nice apartment complex. Like,
We backs up to a golf course.
Yeah. Like, this definitely is, and I wanted to make sure
right next door to a Deerberg's, which, you know, is hoity-toity grocery store.
Oh, exactly. That's, you know. They have habanero cheese, not just pepper jack, by the way, and I know that because it's freaking amazing. Habanero, yes.
Hamburger.
Okay, well, Matt's going to go cook some burgers now.
No.
No, anyways, yeah, I wanted to make it clear that we weren't just in a trailer when we got the knock yet last week. That was kind of weird. But no, this is a nice apartment complex, which is why we were so like, no, there's no meth here. Like, what?
We didn't ask about meth. He asked.
But it was very odd smell. For a law enforcement officer.
He was looking for meth.
To just knock on the door and say, have you smelled any chemicals?
Yeah.
It was very weird. Like, yes, officer, I've been in the back room sniffing paint all day. Yeah. Like, what? It just seemed odd.
Yeah. I've been huffing glue like Charlie Kelly.
Yeah.
You want some?
Yeah.
You just huff a little glue, eat some cat food, and go to bed.
Yep. Yeah. On to another day. Anyways, did you have anything else to say about that or just break all
no,
that down?
No, I mean, I'm done
all petered out.
Talking about marijuana, I wish people would just
all smoke.
No, just realize that it's not. I don't know. I wish the people who were dead set against marijuana legalization would just realize that it's pretty benign when compared to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
The most that it's going to do is make you lazy and waste your time.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who...
Which thousands of other things do.
Exactly. And then the people who
are on... If you're
going
to be lazy and waste your time, you'll do it on your Xbox or your phone.
Or you're going to find a way to do it. But
right.
The people who are on the pro-marijuana side would kind of shut up a little bit and stop the clamoring because...
And not seem so hippie?
Just not seem so... Not seem so blatantly counterculture. Like, they make it to be this big thing that... Like, they have their own specific culture. Like, there's a marijuana
as loud
culture.
Just like the gays.
Well,
with gay
marriage. But it's... But they have this marijuana culture, and they make themselves out to be something separate than the average person. And if you just shut up about it a little while and act like a normal person... And
it would go a long way for the argument.
Exactly.
Right.
Be a normal person who smokes, just like there are normal people who drink. And people wouldn't make a big deal out of it all the time. So
right. Well, and see, that's how I look at it. Like, and it blows my, you know, I have people close to me that are like, how could you ever be for the legalization of a drug? You know, that's how they come across to me. But to me, you know, I've done whatever research, I say research loosely, you know, because I haven't looked into the medicinal qualities of it. I've done whatever research I need to do, mostly from my own experience of having you as a good friend to other mm-hmm. people that smoke fairly regularly and lead perfectly normal lives.
Yeah.
I don't think it impairs your ability any more than any other substance. And again, it's not for me.
More than any other substance, yes. I think it impairs your ability to point, but much less than, say, alcohol
or
heroin.
Exactly. Like, and I just don't. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
And that's my preference. Same thing as getting blackout drunk isn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say I haven't done it a time or two, but it's just not, you know, when I go to a restaurant and have a beer, I'm not going to wind up in a ditch at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. It's just not what I do.
And that's one of the reasons why I try not to drink on a regular basis, because I am one of those persons who I don't have one beer.
Right.
If I'm having one beer, it's a tall 32-ounce tall boy, right? So it counts as two beers. But no, I'm like that way. Like, I don't want to have one beer. I want to have five beers.
Yeah.
And so that's why I keep my drinking, or try to keep my drinking to one or two nights a week. That's why I'm grateful, for the most part, that I'm kind of poor.
Right.
Because it keeps...
Because you can't spend a ton of money on...
I can get drunk...
Abuse.
Like, two nights a week, right after I get my paycheck, and the rest of the week, 2.5 weeks, I like can't... Or a week and a half, I can't...
You're
I don't
the
have
model
money to buy
citizen.
Alcohol.
You're a model so. Citizen.
It keeps me honest.
A taxpayer and a light but heavy drinker.
Yeah.
And on that note, unless there's anything else.
No, did you have anything else?
Quick note. We've been plugging all along audible.com, and this is going to... I haven't broken this news to you, by the way. This is brand new.
Uh-huh.
Probably should have done this.
No, it's fine.
Before the show.
Are we taking the Audible banner off our page?
Oh, it's already off.
Cool.
There's... No, not cool. Well, I guess, but it's because of our governor and the tax legislation.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So now Audible, because they're owned by Amazon and are subject to online taxes, because that's legal.
So we'd basically have to pay to have that banner up on the website?
No, we can't use it. That program is not available to people of certain states because of the way that affiliate programs work with online taxes and because we're making money off of it. Yeah. So that's a load of crap. Anyways.
We should have talked about that.
About internet sales
tax?
Yeah, we've
been talking about
marijuana it's kind of
for
an
40
old,
minutes now.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of an old story because it's happened in the states that it's happened. I think it's already pretty much happened. I don't know that it's coming up necessarily. But yeah, it's kind of stupid. If you go to Amazon.com just right now on your phone and you're getting it shipped to Missouri, you have to pay sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
On certain forms of taxes, which is really stupid.
Yeah.
So, anyways, the only way to support the network is to subscribe via PayPal, you know, which is secure and through your credit card. And obviously, you know, we have nothing to do with that. But you are more than welcome to do that. unless we find other ways to support the program. If you have any, let us know. But for right now, the Audible free audiobook is no longer available.
Well,
so
in lieu of
thank
that,
you, Governor Jay Nixon,
yeah,
for being a ringleader of the douche circus.
Just leading the douches as they come into the douche circus.
Leading the douches right into the douche. You know what the ringleader does? Uh-huh. He stands on that upside-down bucket that's painted and cracks the
whip.
You
be the ringleader right now. Just announce. Talk about the honorable round as the ringleader. Here we go. Ready?
Come on into the circus, ladies and gentlemen. You can't make any money off of it, but come on in. You have to pay money to the state when you buy online. Isn't it the greatest? We make tons of money. Come on in. I'm a douche. That's the douche circus, by the way.
Oh, I should have been going douche, 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 douche.
Right. It's a better theme song for the douche circus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about instead of this? How about clicking through that Audible banner on our page? Do this instead. Listen to the show. Tell a
friend. It's a good show.
Tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Yeah. Tell
a friend. And help us spread the word of Give That Some Thought and help other people out there to give things some thought like
we
do.
And most importantly, give that some thought.
Exactly.
This isn't for Matt and I, because we have these conversations all the time.
Yeah.
On and off the air, as it were. Give that some thought. We talk about some stuff that is interesting to us, yes, but give that some thought. Use your head, people.
Boom. Nailed it.
All there is to it.
Yep.
You'll be a better person at the end of the day when you go to sleep at night, because of this show or not. When you give that some thought, you'll be a better person.
That's what we're saying.
So. Now with 40% more weird.
So long, everybody out there in audio land.
This has been a production of Tripod Broadcasting.